There's so much I want to share today before I even get into the message. Churches have structures and there's leaders in place. And yes, I'm the pastor, so I'm looked upon to be the one to come and teach and to preach and to minister. Before I stood up this morning, I counted the amount of people who contributed to this service and who ministered to you. And that was 10 before I even started. 10 people ministering to you through technology, doing the sound, worship, reading scriptures, giving testimony, speaking out. 10 people. And it just highlighted what Michelle was saying, that everybody has got a job in the church. Everybody's got something to share. I reckon the Lord's got an amazing sense of humour, because he spoke about, to me, as Michelle was talking about, the body. You know, it's got, what in here, has it got the foot in the eye or something, or the foot in the hand, or whatever, I can't remember. And he started going on about my pinky. And I was thinking, what role has the pinky got? And then I thought, see when you've got an itchy ear? It's just the one bit of your body that does it. That every part of your body has got a use. And you might be sitting there and thinking, I'm worthless. I've just got no role. You know, I'm the pinky of the fellowship. You know what? Sometimes if somebody's got an itchy ear, you're just the one that can get there and sort that out. That's why I say the Lord's got a sense of humour. Everyone's kind of interconnected this morning. I'm going to be using 2 Peter 1:3 quite heavily in today's message. And what people have been saying has just been blessing me, exhorting me. We've got a WhatsApp, a family WhatsApp, and Lindsay's on it now. And she's just a hoot on this family. What is it? WhatsApp, WhatsApp, WhatsApp. And there was a conversation yesterday, and Lindsay just kind of wrote, I'm just so glad to be alive. And I was thinking, man, so am I. Because of Jesus. Amen. There are things going on in this world. We've got idiots killing people. Yeah. We've got a general election coming up. We've got fools threatening to annihilate each other with nuclear weapons. And I'm just thinking, I'm so glad I'm alive right now. I don't care. I don't particularly care who's going to be prime minister in 46 days' time or however many days. You know, I've even got to the stage of, I don't care if we have another referendum. I don't care what that fool over there with more nuclear weapons is saying to that fool over there with a few nuclear weapons. I don't care. Why? Because I tell you what, the word says those fools are not going to destroy the earth.
Yes.
That's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. Amen. They can do as much stupidity as they want, but this earth is not going to be annihilated by a nuclear holocaust, because Jesus is going to come back and put an end to this earth. And if you allow yourself to focus on Jesus and focus on what the Word says, who cares what's going out there? Yeah, care about the people. We'll be talking a little bit about that today. We need to tell the people the gospel. We need to get them in here to get the same as what we've got. I care about that. But I don't care who's in number 10, who's in the White House, who's in Pyongyang or whatever it's called. What is it? Pyongyang. In my opinion, they're all fools anyway, but never mind. Here we go. Pray for the meetings we're having with Paul. I've mentioned them to you already. I'm trying to remember the dates. 20th of May. On the Saturday, we'll be in our house in the morning. Come along if you want. Meet Paul, meet his wife. Have some lunch with us, then come along in the evening to here, where we're going to have a question time. Come along on Sunday morning, the 21st of May. when it's going to be Paul leading the service. And then, if you're really that eager, I might even let you come along to our Bible school on the Monday night. Do you want to come along?
Yeah.
Yeah? No. Now, you see, we'll probably, before Paul comes, we might do a lesson on sharing and loving your neighbour and selflessness and compassion. Do you think the school maybe needs that? We'll see. You want to feel special. You feel special. You can come along. Pray for that. Pray for all the things that we're doing. It's like I say, everything's sort of dovetailing today. I was thinking about the church and the fellowship yesterday, and I was thinking about, you know, when pastors get together, it's, how many have you got in your church? How many have you got in your church? I don't care how many I've got in my church. What I care is about, I'm seeing growth, and I'm seeing growth, and I'm seeing growth. That's what I care about. Growth in terms of people, not growth in terms of numbers. Yeah. But I was thinking this morning, we need to all get involved, and it's almost like, it's not like an advertising campaign, it's almost like we need to get more of our brothers and sisters in here, and hearing what you're hearing, and you're all going on about how great this place is. Tell people! Get more folk in. That's not just my job. It's not just my job to teach and preach and bless. We've had 10 people doing that already today. It's all our job as well to get more people in here. Tell them what we've got. Pray for that. Pray for everything that we're doing. Pray for the people listening online. Pray for all the material that we've got. We've got loads of material. Get it out there. I had the Lord impressing on me this week to prepare a seminar on prosperity. One of the ugliest words in the church. Pray for the work I'm doing on that. Pray that people will want to hear it. Carol, you know, finances and prosperity is important. Yes, it's great when they're healed, that we can be healed. But prosperity comes with healing. It's part of the sozo package. Most folk just like, well, I don't need it or I don't want it. How selfish is that? Prosperity is not for you anyway. Prosperity is to put stuff in there.
Yes.
So we can further the kingdom. Hallelujah. Carl, bless her, sharing about, you know, you train up to do one thing and then you do it later for the kingdom. I train to be a manager. I know about budgets and spreadsheets, but I also know the biblical principles behind prosperity. And you know what? I've lived it now. I can teach it. I'm going to speak this out. I'm not a millionaire yet. Yet. But just the Lord impressing on me, Vic, you need to teach this stuff because you've lived it for the last 3 years. Anyway, that's a kind of aside. So pray for all the things we're doing. Pray to get more people in that they hear. I want people in to just hear this and grow and, oh, amen. Ephesians 1. Yay. I'm getting some stick at home, I can tell you. Lisa comes home every now and again. You still in Ephesians, Dad? Yep, still in Ephesians 1. Valerie, last night, as we were round the dinner table, I said, can't remember what we're doing. Was I doing the folders? I was doing my folders and stuff. So I said to them, I said, I'm doing 4 verses tomorrow. 4? Really? And Val said, I just think it's hilarious that you've done like 7 or 8 messages and you're still only at Ephesians 10. But it's good stuff, good teaching. So we're going to move on in Ephesians, but let's pray first. It might be like a tradition, but it's not. Every time you look at the word, you want to be doing this. You want to be telling yourselves, this word is a seed. That's what the word says. You want to tell yourself, I'm going to plant these seeds. You want to talk about understanding. Because if you can understand the word, that means the seed can't be stolen. And the seed has a chance to germinate and grow. If the seed is stolen away, it's not going to grow, is it? If you throw out your seeds and the sparrows and the gulls and whatever come and eat those seeds, they're not going to grow. So it's like that with the enemy. He doesn't like you planting your seeds. How many of you know that sometimes when you go to start your Bible study, there's always someone else? At this point, I normally slag off the people that watch EastEnders. But you know, you sit down and study your word, And there's always like a Champions League game on the internet. So attractive, all these big teams. There's always someone. The enemy doesn't want you planting these seeds. And then once you start planting them, he's there trying to grasp them and steal them away. So the word says if you can understand the word, he can't steal it. So that's why we pray that every week. And you should do that every time yourselves before you look at the word. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. I thank you for the truths held within this word. I thank you for the testimonies already this morning that has told us that these words are true and that if we have them in our lives, they will change our lives for the better. So thank you for every heart that is now about to have seeds scattered all across the top. I pray for good ground. And more importantly, I pray for understanding in the mighty name of Jesus that seed will not be stolen away. And as we understand, I thank you, Lord, that those seeds are going to grow and produce the fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought it's been a while since I've been in Ephesians. It's about a month. Because I was off and Nunzi preached. And then I preached a traditional Easter message last week. If you weren't here, you want to get that because that was important. Now, last time we met, when we were talking about Ephesians, was Ephesians 1:10. And we did look at the fact that Jesus is coming back. But I went on at great lengths to tell you, don't get hung up on it. Don't be bothered about the date because that's not the time for you to know. Don't spend too much time looking into this. And then I went home, and on the Monday, I actually bought a book about this topic. It's really weird. So it's like, do as I say, not do as I do. But it's from a grace-based perspective, and it's very good so far. So if I really like it, I'll recommend it to you. But yeah, Jesus is coming back. It's up to God when he wants to put an end to this world. That's why I've said there's no fool on this earth that can annihilate us with a nuclear weapon or annihilate the world with a nuclear holocaust. Because God's going to finish this earth in his time when he's ready. And we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to worry about what's happening now or what's going to happen between now and when we come out to that great throne of grace. We don't have to worry about that. Just let it happen. What we can be assured of, we can have boldness. We can boldly approach the throne of grace. That tells me we don't have to worry. Not for us to think about. So what we're going to do today, well, we're going to do the next few verses. So let's read from verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And next week I'm going to cover this prayer. But we're going to do those few verses this week. One of the things that I love about the word is repetition. It's repetition right the way through this book. And we see it here. Paul is telling us in verse 11. Paul is reminding us the things that he's already told us at the start of this epistle. Paul, he approaches teaching in a similar way to me. Repetition. It's like a great way to teach is to tell people what you're going to teach them, then tell them, and then tell them what you've just told them. That's a brilliant way to teach. And Paul does this all the way through Ephesians. Repetition is not boring. Repetition is good teaching style. Now, if you come to this place, you will get taught about grace, forgiveness, righteousness, prosperity, healing. You will get taught about that again and again and again. If that bores you, you don't get it. If that bores you, you don't truly understand it. It's if I come up here on a Sunday morning and say, I'm going to preach on righteousness again today, there should be a whoop of excitement, not an, oh, well, I can kip for the next hour, I'll go and get myself a coffee and I'll just read the paper. Or, like, you know, if you're bored about repetition, you don't understand it. Every time I teach about forgiveness, about righteousness, I get something new. Because I'm such a fantastic teacher, you get something new as well. So you're blessed. Every time I teach, you're blessed and get something new. Amen?
Amen.
That's why you're out here, isn't it? Hallelujah. Are you just here on the off chance that Nunzi's teaching now and again? Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Oh, there's that word again. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I could teach on this for hours, but I already have. Because it's Ephesians 1:3-7.
Yeah.
But I'll do it anyway. In whom? Verse 10 has just been talking about Jesus coming back. And then verse 11 starts with, in whom? So the previous verse was talking about Jesus. So what comes next is all about Jesus and what he's done. This needs to be central to everything that we do and everything that we think about. I jokingly mentioned to you about this book that I've just bought about the end times. And the first thing he says is, everything I'm going to tell you is through the perspective of what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Everything that he's written about, it's through the lens of the finished work of the cross. Cross-tinted glasses, like Nunzi calls it. And we need to do that as well with all that we're reading. It's all through what Jesus has done. That needs to be our main focus. Through Jesus. So what have we got in Jesus? An inheritance. Look closely at the text. Let me read that again. In whom also we have obtained. What tense? Both past tense. Well, have. Yeah, it happened in the past and we have it now. If you have obtained something, it's something that's been done and something that you have got. It's a done deal. It's a past event. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Oh yeah, so God's decided, he's predestinated, who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. No, we've covered that. What has God predestinated? We've already spoken about it. God has predestinated the way to salvation, the way it's going to happen, and his will is for everyone to be saved. But there's a big problem with that. Us, you, well, not you, because you're here. Problem is not about what God's going to do or what God's done. The problem is what we think about it and what we do with it. It's God's will for everyone to come to repentance. It's God's will for everyone to be saved. And he's put in place a system whereby everyone has been reconciled, everyone has been forgiven. That's what he has predestinated. That's what he's done. He's predestinated that everyone can be saved because everyone has been reconciled. Everyone has been forgiven. That's a gift of grace. But we move into the salvation, the righteousness, as a gift of grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. I don't know when we're going to get to that. That's chapter 2:8. That's probably September. Through Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance. That word, that means allotted or assigned a privilege. You've been allotted it already. You've been assigned it already. You've been given it. We've spoken a bit about it already this morning. Other people have. Through Jesus, you have been assigned healing. Through Jesus, you have been assigned prosperity. You have been assigned joy. You have been assigned peace. You have been assigned acceptance. You have been assigned righteousness.
Amen.
It's a simple phrase, and sometimes I don't like it. We need to believe and receive. Some people slag that off, say, oh, blab it and grab it. No, it's not. It's almost the same. Believe and receive. If you don't believe, you're not going to get it. Or you're not going to see it manifest. You've already got it. We'll cover that in a bit. But you have to believe that you have it. Faith is so important. And then, like we've heard already, speak it out. Yeah, you might still have a sore leg, but you're healed. That little bit in my arm might still be duddling after I got all flustered and hit myself with the iron this morning when I was expected to iron my own shirt. But I'm healed. It was a good ploy. It's like, oh, God, go and run that underwater and I'll finish your shirt. Might look stupid. Yeah. Whatever bit you've got that might still be sore, aye, it's sore. That's a fact that you've got in your body at the moment, but the truth is you've been healed. Amen. So you have been healed. You have been made prosperous. You have got joy. You have got peace. You have been accepted because you're righteous. And that really was Ephesians 1, 3 to 7. I think there's about 4 or 5 messages at the back covering that. So get them if you're not that sure about it. Now, you all know that in the physical world, in this world here, you normally have to wait for a person to die to get your inheritance. Don't you? I was sitting having dinner with Jay and Lise on Monday. And they were saying, yeah, let's talk about this money we're going to get when you die, Dad. Yeah, let's talk about that. And it was like, I'm going, yeah, okay. You normally have to wait for somebody to die before you get an inheritance. Now, it's exactly the same in the kingdom. It's exactly the same in the kingdom. You have to wait for someone to die before you get that inheritance. What did I preach last week? Who died?
Jesus.
Jesus. He's already died. So the inheritance is there. Because the person that we needed to die has died. Jesus has already died. He's been buried. He's resurrected. He's ascended. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. His job is finished. And if you've been born again, you've died with him. You had that sins buried along with him. And you have been raised into the newness of life. That resurrection newness of healing and prosperity and joy and peace and acceptance.
Amen.
You've already got it. You've already got that inheritance. You've been given it as a gift of grace through faith. Faith in Jesus, faith in his blood and his finished work. That is how we get our inheritance. And we've got it. We've got it already. And some of you have already, you've stolen my thunder this morning. And so much of what I was going to teach, you've just stolen it and used it already. So it'll be a bit of revision. But you might be sitting there, and saying, but Vic, I'm a believer and I'm not healed. Where's my inheritance? I'm a believer, but I'm poor. I've got poverty in some areas of my life. Where's my inheritance? You promised me that, Vic. Why am I not seeing it? Why is God not giving it to me? That's not an appropriate question. You have got it. You've just not seen it manifest yet. You've just not seen it in your physical life yet. It's like when I'm speaking to Pauline on the phone. You have been healed. Don't condemn yourself when it doesn't come straight. And we may have seen some miraculous, immediate healings. The weird thing, or the not so weird thing, that's always been with unbelievers. Every time I've prayed for someone, and it's like miraculous, immediate non-believers. Why? Because they haven't got the baggage and rubbish and nonsense of religion like we've all got. Well, I'm not really sure if I can be healed. Oh, I don't know if God wants to heal me. I'd had that sin yesterday, so I haven't repented of that sin. So maybe once I repent of that sin, maybe God will accept me and maybe he'll heal me. How many of us have got that rubbish carrying around in our bags? We need to get rid of that. But you might be sitting there and thinking, I am a believer. Now I've got a monkey song going round in my head. You might be thinking, I'm a believer, but I'm not healed. I'm not prosperous. Vic, where's my inheritance? We've already got it. That's what Ephesians 1:3 told us. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We'll talk about that. That heavenly place, what it's talking about there, is your born-again spirit. So, okay, Vic, so you're telling me I'm sick, but I've been healed. Yep. You're telling me I'm poor, but I'm prosperous. Yep. You're telling me I feel rejection, but I'm accepted. Yeah. You're telling me I've got issues in my life that's causing me grief and worry and stress, but I've got peace. Yes. I am telling you that. But Vic, I can't see it. Well, that doesn't change the difference that you've already got it just because you can't see it. The truth is, it's there. Okay then. So how do I manifest it, Vic? And this is when I was going to have a big drum roll and go on about 2 Peter 1:3. But Abby's been speaking about 2 Peter 1:3 already this morning. So how do I see it, Vic? How do I get it manifest in my life? 2 Peter 1:3. The Bible is all important, but there are some verses that are of vital importance when we're living in this age. And here's one of them. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. A bit like Ephesians 1:3. You have already got all you need for life, abundant life, Zoe life. You have all that. Everything for godliness. You have everything that you need to live a godly life. Everything you need not to have sin in your life. Everything you need to live a holy life is already there. You already have it. So how do I see it manifest, Vic? Because I'm not seeing it manifest. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who's that talking about? Who's the him? Jesus. I'm a bit loud this morning. I'm sorry, but I'm really excited. It's through the knowledge of him. What type of gnosis, Carol? Epi. Revelation knowledge. Not just knowing something, but feeling it in your heart and having an experience of it. And knowing no matter what happens, that's still the truth. Not just knowing it in your head, but really knowing it deep within you. See, we can all go to the scriptures. Probably not the right way to say it. Try not to be offensive or derogatory here, but we can all go to the scriptures and trot out the healing scriptures. I know that scripture, I know that scripture, I know that scripture. But if we don't really know it in our heart and truly believe it and have faith and hope and speak it out, we're not going to see that healing manifest. It's the same with prosperity and finances. I mean, that's a really ugly word in the church. If I come swanning in and saying, we're all meant to be prosperous, we're all meant to be loaded. Because it is talking about money and material things. I mean, there's a lot more to it, obviously. And yet it's not about greed and whatever. But the scriptures are clear. If you're in the kingdom, you're meant to be rich in so many ways. I mean, what part of abundant life does poverty fit into? It doesn't. It's the same part as illness doesn't fit into an abundant life. Knowledge. We need to have knowledge of him. And I've told you before, this Bible, from the first verse to the last verse, is all about Jesus. Well, it doesn't talk about Jesus. Aye, it does. Everything in here, yeah, the Gospels is about Jesus because that's telling us about Jesus, but everything else are types and shadows and pictures of Jesus Christ. Abraham sacrificing or not his son is all about Jesus. Yes. Noah's Ark is all about Jesus. David is all about Jesus. Joshua is all about Jesus. Revelation is all about it's all about Jesus. Knowledge of him. That's why Carol said, you need to stop being stupid. I'm not saying that. Carl said that. I didn't say that. Carl said that. You need to stop being stupid and get into your Bible and do some serious study on your own or at an accredited Bible school. Whichever way you wish. But you need to get into the Bible. You need to study the Bible, rightly dividing the word. Because that's all about Jesus. That's why I keep saying, word, word, word. If you can renew your mind to the truths in here, you will be transformed. It's what the word says. So boring. Can I just go along and get somebody to pray for me? Well, you might do, but you're not going to keep that prosperity. You're not going to keep that healing. You're not going to keep that joy and peace unless you truly understand it. Now, I'm not slagging off healing evangelists because there are gifts of healings. There are people out there who have a ministry in healing. And yeah, they can heal people. But if we don't understand the truths, it'll be a lot of the same people going back when the healing evangelist comes next year.
Yes.
Not that that should stop healing evangelists. I'm not against them, okay? But we need to understand the word. So there's a huge problem in the church, a big problem in the church, lack of knowledge. In the body of Christ in general, we are stupid. I didn't say that, Carol did. In the main, there is a lot of ignorance in the church. Now, I'm not being horrible. I'm not saying, you know, people are ignorant. That's just a fact. See, the problem is not God holding back healing. There are many of us who haven't seen a full manifestation of healing or joy or peace or prosperity or whatever it is. A lot of us have seen that. We've not seen a full manifestation of this, but that is not God holding it back. But that is what the church says. There must be some sin in your life, brother. Who am I going to pick on? Chris. You're not seeing that full manifestation, brother. There must be some sin in your life that you're not repenting of. Anybody been told that?
Yeah.
I have. There's probably lots of sins I haven't repented of because I can't remember them all. That's not what's stopping full healing, full prosperity, full joy, full peace. God is not holding anything back. Oh, how can you say that, Vic? Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3, Ephesians 1:11. We've got it all. The word is clear. He's given us everything. He can't be holding anything back if he's given us all. Do you know what all means?
All.
Everything. The Greek means to the exclusion of nothing. There's nothing removed from all. So if there's nothing been removed or left out from all, how could he be holding something back? I mean, think about it, people. The Bible's not rocket science. The Bible is simple to understand. You need somebody to help you to get it wrong. And that's what a lot of people are doing, helping us get it wrong. The problem is not God holding us back. The problem is a lack of knowledge. Knowledge of who we are in Christ. Knowledge of what we have in Christ. That's vital for the born-again believer. You've got to know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Well, how do I get to know that, Vic? Study this. That is why I tell you time and time again that you've been forgiven, that you've been made righteous. That kind of knowledge we need to have and we need to believe. We need to truly understand it. That's why we tell you, you've got everything you need. You've already been healed. You've already been prospered. Now, it might sound silly, but all the prosperity, all the money that you ever need, in a sense, is already in your born-again spirit. All the healing is there as well. But all the riches, the abundance, the prosperity, it's already there. And then when you get knowledge, it's already there. Then when you get the knowledge and work it out, that's when it starts to flow. Well, I don't get that about prosperity, Vic. Well, there's really practical verses in the Bible that tell you if you want to get money, work. If you want to eat, work. Get healed, work. There's verses that say, speak it out. So I'm going to speak out my prosperity. I've shown you this before. I have a declaration of appropriation in the back of my Bible for abundance and prosperity. That's working. It's all biblical. It's all based on the Word. We believe it. We speak it out. There are things in there that talk about being good stewards and having good investments. Well, we've done it at the school. You can interpret scriptures that kind of tell you amazing financial revelations, like you should be spending less than you take in. Isn't that an astounding financial truth? You dinna spend more than you've got. I can give you spreadsheets and budgets to help you do that. Was it Carol that said, any problem, anything, any issue you've got, there's an answer for it there, and the answer is Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Him. It's knowledge that we need in the body of Christ, not more works. Listen to me when I say this. Not more fasting prayers, not more fasting, not more begging, not more pleading for God to work, for God to move. Now, I'm not against fasting, I'm not against praying, but I am against fasting and praying if you're doing it to make God move, make God give you something, trying to twist God's arm. If I fast for 7 days, then you'll give me that Aston Martin. No. If you work hard and spend less and save, you could get your Aston Martin. If you're going to use it in the kingdom, you could run folk back and forth at church and things like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? One at a time. Yes. One small person at a time. I only mention that because I've got a really good mate who's really into getting his Aston Martin at the moment. It's knowledge that is needed, not works, not prayers, not fasting, although works and prayers and fasting are not bad things. But they're wrong if you're doing it for God to bless you. It's wrong if you're doing it in order to be healed, in order to be prospered. It's like you're standing behind God, twisting His arm with all this fasting and praying, saying, give me healing, give me healing, give me healing. And He's saying, I've given you it, I've given you it, I've given you it. And there's no amount of arm twisting that can make Him give you something that you've already got. Lack of knowledge. That's the trouble. We already have this inheritance through Jesus. Why do we have this inheritance? Why have we been given this inheritance? Well, John 10:10 says, it's so you can have an abundant life. 3 John 2 says it, so you can have above all things health and prosperity. But we also have this because it brings glory to God. As we trust in Christ, look at Ephesians 12. So we've got this inheritance that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. As we trust in Christ, as we make Him our Lord and Savior, as we study the Word, as we manifest all these truths, as we are renewed, as we know more and more, as we see all these truths being made manifest in our lives, we give glory to God. It's a good testimony. We show God's glory through manifesting His goodness. Now let me ask you a question. What brings more glory to God? This, being in church on your knees, begging and pleading for forgiveness. A church embracing poverty and illness as a sign that God loves us and wants to change us, wants to improve us. Or a church living in health and abundance, a church living under the freedom of grace, a church helping all the people around them because they've got resources, a church living supernatural health. What is the better testimony? What building are people going to want to go to? I want some of that illness and poverty. Yeah, I'll go to that church. I want some of that. Or do they want what we should be manifesting? Do they want to come to a church where people in that church will pray for healing and set people free in offices? Do they want to come to a church where people will pray for people on the streets and talk out good things over them? In coffee shops, in the high street, in the supermarkets? Or do they want to go to a church where they're standing in front of a Christian and they're saying, I'm really ill and I'm really poor, and that Christian will say, well, sister, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. What's the better testimony? What's giving God the glory? The truth, the healing, the prosperity. That brings glory to God. And then we get this awesome verse telling us what happens as we trusted in Jesus. Because this is all about trusting in Jesus. It also tells us about what we need to do before we trust in Jesus. And this is important. Let me ask you another question. Do you want to see your brothers and sisters, your family, your friends, your colleagues, people you meet in the street, do you want to see them trusting in Jesus and coming to salvation? The correct answer is yes. So this is important. Listen up. Ephesians 1:13, talking about Christ, in whom ye also trusted. So we've trusted in Christ. Yes? We've had to trust in Christ to come to salvation. That's part of this grace through faith thing. We had to have faith in Jesus. We trusted in Jesus. When did we trust in Jesus? After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Amen. In order to trust Jesus, in order to come to faith, in order to be saved, you have to have heard the gospel. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I can't remember. No, you must have. You must have, because that is what the Bible says. No, well, I came to faith like this, 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 and this. No. Maybe you did. But at some point, someone gave you the gospel. Someone told you the truth about Jesus. What's the gospel? What's this word of truth, the gospel of your salvation? It's about the goodness of Jesus. The gospel is what Jesus has done. It's the good news. It's about his finished work. It's about what you can receive as a gift of grace through faith once you come to Jesus. That is the gospel. Gospel means good news. It is not good news to stand on a street corner and berate passerbys saying they're sinners going to hell. That's not the good news. It might be a truth, but it's not the good news. That's not what people need to hear. They do not need to be told that they're sinners and that they're worthless and what they're doing is terrible. I tell you why. In their heart, they might be kidding themselves, but they already know that. You don't need to tell a sinner they're a sinner because they know they're a sinner. We don't need to do that. We don't need to tell them they're sinners, they're worthless, they need to stop that sin. And God will deal with you. God will love you. God will, that's a loving God. No, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news. Romans 2:4 says, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God. Jesus is the expression of his goodness. Jesus coming, dealing with our sin, taking our sins to the grave, raising us up in the newness of life. That's the good news. That's what folk need to be told. Not that they're sinners, dirty worms, turn before you burn, spirit of slap. There's a phrase I used to use when there's folk I wasn't too keen on what they're doing. I shouldn't really use it, like, they should be shot. But I don't really mean that now, because I'm a loving pastor now. That shouldn't be allowed. It shouldn't be allowed. Who in here remembers Bishop Bill? Oh, man, I still love that guy. He was awesome. Hello, Brother Vic. It's Brother Bill. Oh, hi, Bill. Yeah, of course you can come to church. Just don't bring your accordion. That's an in-joke for the old Church of Godies. He is an amazing, wonderful man of God. So looked up to that guy. And he was in Glasgow one day. And he's such a gentle man as well. But he said he was in a queue at the bank to get his money. And there was a guy just there on the side of the street there just shouting at the people in the queue that they were sinners and they were going to hell, and if they didn't change their ways, they would burn and blah, blah, blah. And Bill said, he's such a gentle guy, something just rose up in him. And he just told this guy, what for? You can't do that. You should be telling these people about Jesus. Tell them that they love him and blah, blah, blah. And then he got into conversations with guys in the queue who wanted to hear what Bill was saying, rather what this lunatic was shouting at them. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Yeah, the fact that a lot of people are on the wide road and going to go to destruction is the truth. But we get them off that road with the goodness of God, with telling them about the gospel. I see you're ill, brother. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to meet this Jesus who can heal you right now? Do you want to live in abundance? And it's not just about getting to heaven. As Christian Aid says, we believe in life before death. There's life to be had now, and that's through the knowledge of Jesus. It's the good news. We need to preach that. We need to have people preaching the good news. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do we finish there, or do we go on a little bit? Should we go on a little bit on that verse? So, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Not trusted in. And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I've said this before. Guys, we have beautiful feet because we're preaching grace, we're preaching the gospel. My feet are gorgeous. I believe that. I've got lovely feet. We need to preach the gospel. That's the good news. Not the terrible news that where they're going if they don't find Jesus. Folk don't need to know that. In their heart, everybody knows there's a God. Now these people say, no, no, no. There's no God. Prove this, we can do that. And they're really vociferous about it. Aye, when they wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, they can find there's a God. So we need to preach the good news. I've mentioned it already. What is the good news then? It's Jesus. Who he is, what he did, what he went through, and what we receive on salvation. All the healing you'll ever need, all the peace we'll ever need, all the joy, all the prosperity, all the acceptance, all the love that we'll ever need, we get that at the point of salvation. That's good news, isn't it? Brilliant. Needs faith. See, later on we'll see we're saved by grace through faith. We need faith. But how can they have faith if they've not been told? People need to have someone tell them about Jesus. I'm getting better at it now, but this is where I used to cop out. I'd tell them about God. Because a lot of people believe in God. That's not enough. We need to speak about Jesus. Well, that's when folk get all sort of uncomfortable, and oh, they'll tell them about this, they'll tell them about that, and we tell them we go to church, and we tell them we go to Bible study. Do we tell them about Jesus? That's what we need to do. Tell them about Jesus, what he's done, who he is, what he's done for us. See, that's what we need. That's what it says in verse 13. In whom also you trust. You trusted. But you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom after that you believed. So you hear the truth. You're given the gospel. It's only after that that you can believe. That you can come to trust. You can come to faith. You can come to salvation. You need to be told about deliverance and rescue and safety and health. That's what that word salvation means. That's what the gospel of salvation means. It's the good news about being delivered, about being rescued, about being safe. about being in health and prosperity and peace and acceptance. That's what salvation is. And that's what we need to be telling people. Not telling them that they're heading for destruction. That's not the good news. So we hear the gospel. We're trust and we're saved. What happens at that point? Well, that's the rest of verse 13. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, it doesn't explicitly say it here, but if we rightly divide the word with lots of other scriptures and other parts of the Bible, we can know that that is talking about our born-again spirit. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The second you were born again, it was your spirit that was born again, and it was sealed. At salvation, it is your sinful nature that died, your old man, and you were given a new one. Awesome. I'm going to go to my favorite passages of Scripture. Who knows where I'm going? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is there any man in Christ? Any person in Christ here today? Yeah? No. Okay. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We know that's talking about our born-again spirit. We all know that, because the second we were born again, we didn't get a body like, I don't know, George Clooney, Harrison Ford. Looking at Chris here. We weren't changed in our body. And we weren't changed in our mind. I don't know about you, I still had stupid thoughts after I was born again. I still do. It was our spirit. It wasn't our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. It wasn't our body that was changed. So it has to be our spirit. That was what was born again. That was what it was created new. And when it was created righteous and holy. That's what Ephesians 4:24 says. Truly holy. Not even just holy. True holiness. So our born again spirit was created in righteousness and holiness. It was made perfect. And then it was sealed. That's what it means in verse 1:13. It was sealed. So we come to salvation, we trust in Jesus, we hear the word, we trust in Jesus, we come to salvation. At that point, our born-again spirit is created righteous, perfect, holy, pure, sealed. In the twinkling of an eye. That sealed is the Greek word phragizo. It means to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation. You know, back in the days when the king would write a letter, he'd put a bit of wax on it and he would seal it. That was saved, it was preserved. That could not be opened until it went to the guy who it was addressed to. They'd know it had been tampered with. Signet or private mark. When we're born again, we're sealed with the mark of the Holy Spirit. Sealed with God. It's like God's ring. You're created in righteousness and true holiness. Then he puts a seal around you and then he stamps you. Mine! I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday. This is not a great analogy, but we all know what it means to preserve something. If you have lots and lots of fruit and you want to keep it for later, you preserve it. You turn it into a jam. You keep it safe. Now, it's not a perfect analogy because jam can go moldy or whatever. But it's that idea of it's keeping something safe. Our born-again spirit never goes off. It's sealed or protected, or sealed and protected. So nothing can get through this seal, Vic, then. No, actually, stuff can. Your Holy Spirit is sealed in perfection, and you've got all the healing you need in that born-again spirit. You've got all the prosperity, all the joy, all the acceptance, all the peace. And this seal is very clever in that things can leak out. Well, work out. It doesn't leak out. Work out. How does it work out? Through knowledge of Him. But nothing can get in. Once your spirit is born again, it's perfect. That's where we have all the spiritual blessings. Because you might be sitting there thinking, I haven't got all the spiritual blessings. Vic, I'm still a little bit sick. I'm still a little bit poor. No, you have all the spiritual blessings. They just happen to be in your born again spirit. Your job is to work them out. Need to have an understanding of spirit, soul, and body before this makes sense. Our spirit can let out healing, it can let out peace through knowledge, but it will not let anything in. Sin can't affect your spirit. So we need to have this fundamental understanding about our spirit, this fundamental truth, or some verses just won't look right. Look up 1 John 3, verse 9. Now, before you look at it, are we all Christians in here? Are we all born again? Yes. Are you absolutely perfect in what you think and what you do? Got the odd bit of sin now and again? Do a bit of stupid now and again? Yeah? We would all agree to that? Okay. So let's see what 1 John 3 verse 9 says. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. Oh, he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you don't understand about spirit, soul, and body, you can let that verse really condemn you, because every single one of you has said that you sin. You can't be born of God. You're not a believer. See that? But if we know this is talking about our born-again spirit, this is not talking about our mind, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, or our body. I'm fantastic at sinning in my body. But that's not the bit of me that's been created in righteousness and true holiness and sealed. In my spirit, I can't sin. This is talking about my spirit. But if it can't sin, the same way it can't be affected by sin. I'm a Christian. I know that in my body and my soul, I'm not perfect. I fall short. And you all do. Nobody's going to sit here and tell me that they're perfect in their body or their mind. If you think that, you're deluded. But that doesn't exclude us from being Christians. We're not excluded from being Christians because we sin. Why do we sin then? We sin because we've still got an unrenewed mind. It's our unrenewed mind, the old programming from the old sin nature, that's causing us to sin. Not our perfect new nature. That never, ever will let us sin. But if we fall short, if we do stupid things, it just shows us that we're not had our mind fully renewed in that area. So what do we need? You need more knowledge. Oh, I've got this sin in my life. What do I do, Vic? Well, stop focusing on it. Stop thinking about it and think on the word and it'll go away. Oh, I've got this really bad sin, Vic. What do I do? Well, don't try to stop it. You're telling me not to stop it? No, I'm telling you not to try stopping it. Well, what do I do instead? Well, look up some verses about righteousness, about forgiveness, about how much God loves you. Renew your mind in that area, and I tell you what, that sin that you have been doing, you'll forget about it and it'll go away. But if you focus on it and focus on it and try and stop it, you'll keep doing it. Strength of sin is the law, not grace. Amen. If you don't understand about spirit, soul, and body, that verse in 1 John 3 just doesn't make sense. We've got a born-again spirit that has been sealed, that allows out goodness but won't let in filth or evil. Has anyone ever gone hill walking with a jacket that is supposed to be breathable? Yeah. You go walking in this raincoat that is breathable, and then you take it off at the end and you're soaking. The inside is all wet and your jumper's soaking. See, if you get a really good raincoat, pay a decent bit amount of money and get one that is breathable, when your body breathes and releases liquid and condensation, that will go out. But the water and the rain will not come in. That's like a picture of our born-again spirit. It's easy to understand that. I'm going to show off here. Shall I dial in a little bit of science? That's what's called a semi-permeable membrane. It lets things out one way, but doesn't let things in the other. That's like our born-again spirit. Your spirit is full of the fruit of the Spirit. It's full of healing and prosperity and joy and peace and acceptance. And as you increase your knowledge about these things, that releases them into your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and then into your body. So it's knowledge that helps us do that. But if you fail, you do a bit of sin, that doesn't affect your born-again spirit. Don't let it condemn you. You cannot sin away your salvation. Your old man cannot come back to life. This is one of Nunzi's favourite pictures. I like the way Nunzi puts it. Circumcision is a picture of the death of our sinful spirit, the death of our old man. Now, you don't need me to explain what circumcision is, do you? No, nobody needs me to explain what it is. It was a sign of the covenant that the Hebrews had with God. They were circumcised. It's a picture of the death of our sinful self. Now, how many of you know, once you cut off that bit in circumcision, it doesn't grow back? It doesn't. Our sinful nature doesn't come back. So why do I keep sinning, Vic? Unrenewed mind. It's not a sinful nature. It's not like your sinful nature's come back. It's an unrenewed mind. See, our spirit is perfect. Once it's perfect, it's always perfect. Once it's sealed, it's sealed. It cannot be corrupted. That old man cannot come back. And like I've said, why do I sin? It's because you have an unrenewed mind. If you want to be transformed, if you want to go to a better state, if you want to have less sin in your life, renew your mind. How do I renew my mind? I study about Jesus. I increase my knowledge of him. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Quickly finish with this. Ephesians 1. Let's look at verse 14. Ephesians 1, 14. I do want to finish this week. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. This can cause a little bit of confusion, especially if you don't know about spirit, soul and body. Okay? Well, this seems to be talking about a future redemption. I've been redeemed. How can it be talking about a future redemption, talking about things being purchased until the redemption? But I've been redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 says, I've been redeemed. If you don't know about spirit, soul and body, this can be a verse of contradictions. How can I be redeemed and yet be redeemed in the future? Ephesians 1:7 is about your spirit. Ephesians 1:14 is about your soul and your body. My spirit's already been redeemed. This bronzed Adonis will be redeemed in the future. We need to understand about spirit, soul and body. If you don't, we have material up there. Get it or do the big course. You have to understand about spirit, soul and body. Verse 14 is not a contradiction to verse 7, because verse 7 is talking about your spirit and verse 14 is talking about your body. See, there are other verses that talk about in the fullness of time we will lose this mortal body and get a new perfect one. Incorruptible body in heaven. A bit like the new and incorruptible spirit we got at salvation. So you've got that already. And in that, you're manifested all the healing and joy and peace that you'll need. But you have a corruptible body. You need to work that good things out of your spirit into your soul and into your body. But what that verse is saying is that in the future, you're going to have this perfect body as well. But that's in the future. So there's not a contradiction in here. Ephesians 1:7, spirit. Ephesians 1:14, body. So you need to know about spirit, soul and body. It makes it easier. There's no contradictions. So what's the summary of today? The most important thing is we need to tell people the good news about salvation. We need to know what salvation is. We need to preach the gospel and the truth about Jesus so that they can then trust. Trust in him. And once trusted, they're saved. They have that spirit reborn. It's new, it's righteous, it's truly holy, it's perfect. Everything we need for life and godliness has already been there. And then it's sealed, protected for us. And then we can start working it out. And yet you can see all the healing that you ever need. All the prosperity that you're ever going to need. All the peace, all the joy, all the acceptance. Everything you get with the Sozo package is already there. There's nothing been left out. People, don't ask God for anything. Well, that's not true. You know, ask him for wisdom and whatever. But don't ask him for prosperity. I'm poor, Lord. Please make me rich. No, don't ask for that. Don't ask for healing. Telling me, Vic, not to ask for healing. Yeah. Don't ask for healing. Believe that you've been healed and thank him for your healing. Even if it's sayer. Oh, thank you, Lord, that that leg has been healed. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's an impersonation of Nunzi last week. Thank you, Lord. Dancing a bit like a spring chicken now. Leg has been healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.